We thank you, Father God, for your grace today that we are able to come before you. Lord, we pray for the preaching of the word this morning. We pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. We pray, Father God, that each one of us would hear from you. We thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And so today, Father, we humble ourselves and we pray that you'd speak to us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Are you ready to hear the word? Okay. Right. As we draw close to the end of our series, we've been teaching on the series titled Commissioned. Okay? Commissioned. And today we are doing part six. We're doing part six of this message. And I'm really trusting God that you've been inspired and you've been challenged to really think about your walk with the Lord. I've realized that life happens and we get so busy. We get so into ourselves to the extent that we forget the reason why we are believers. And my hope and my prayer is that as we get to the end of this series, which will finish at the end of May, something would have been stirred up in your heart, where you are reminded that heaven is counting on you. Heaven is counting on me. Hallelujah. Amen. Because if the church forgets why we are the called ones out, there is no hope for this world. You know, it is okay to pray for breakthroughs for yourself. It's okay to pray for financial breakthrough. It's okay to pray for healing. It's okay to pray for miracles. But over and above that, we need to start praying for souls. Amen. We need to believe God for our relatives to come to the knowledge of Jesus. Amen. We need to believe God for our neighbors to come to the knowledge of Jesus. Because that is why we are called the church. Now, this morning, I want to equip us with some tools around this matter. Because many people want to do this thing. But a lot of us don't know how we should do it. I don't know if you've been taught. Okay, can I just get a bit of mine? I don't know if you've been taught on how to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I've come to realize that very few of us actually know how to go about this. And all along you've been saying, you know what, Michael, you're talking about the Great Commission, but I've been in the Lord for 5 years, but I really don't know how to do it. Where do I even start? You know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but maybe I should pick up one or two of us to say, if you have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus, where would you start? I don't know who wants to take on the challenge. Brother Tabo, do you want to give it a go? Where would you start? Mama Lydia, do you want to do it? You know, I'm just saying today, we have taken it for granted that the church knows how to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And so for the coming minutes, I want to talk to you on the subject matter, how to share your faith. How to share your faith. Somebody might start saying, you know what, Pastor, that should be taught in Sunday school. I'm like, yeah, you might be right. But I also believe right here, we need to do that.
Amen.
Maybe it's a reminder to remind us on how to do it. How do I share my faith with my friends? Think about it. You're on a trip. Those of you who travel, you're on a trip with this person to Polokwane. You're on a trip with this person to KZN. And you're going to spend the coming 5 days with a work colleague. How are you going to take advantage of the moment that you are with your work colleague? How are you going to ensure that at least at the end of these 5 days, you would have gotten across to them with the message of Jesus Christ? How do I share my faith? I've given people lifts in my car going to work. An hour, 2 hours of driving. How do I share Jesus Christ with them? Where do I start? My daughter, who is in grade 7, does she know how to share her faith with her friends? You as a mom, you as a dad, are you able to tell your child how they should share their faith? And that's what we're going to do this morning. And if you've got your pen and paper, take that out or on your cell phone. Otherwise, I'll send out these notes so that you can have them. So how do I do that? Number one, the easiest way to share your faith is to use your personal testimony. Come on now. It is to use your personal testimony. So use your testimony to share your faith. Your personal testimony is the most powerful tool in witnessing to your faith in Christ. Why? A testimony is a public affirmation of your experience. If you have had a genuine experience of Jesus Christ, you should be willing to share your journey of how it happened, where it took place. I can tell you my story. It was on the 8th of March in 1993 at a high school when I was doing grade 8. We're sitting on the grandstand of our rugby field. This A-level student came to me and started sharing his testimony. He started talking to me about his journey in the Lord. And he told me how God has transformed his life. And at that rugby field, I gave my life to Jesus on the 8th of March, 1993. Amen. I still remember that day. And that started a journey in my life. It brought a testimony over my life. You see, you need to realize that people can argue with you concerning many things, but they cannot argue with you regarding your testimony.
Amen.
No one can contest your testimony. You can say, once I was blind, but now I can see. Hallelujah. No one can dispute that. It's your experience with Jesus. In John chapter 9, verse 25, a man that was born blind had an encounter with the Lord Jesus. The Lord ministered to him. The man was delivered from blindness and he started seeing. The Pharisees had an issue with him and they say to him, do you know that the man who healed you is a sinner? And the guy say to them, I don't care whether he's a sinner or not. What I know is I was once blind, but now I can see.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
That was his testimony. That was his story. And through that, as he went about testifying, people could not deny the fact that we saw this man. He was born blind. He was there 38 years. Now he can see. There must be something that happened in him that we can benefit from.
Amen.
Your testimony cannot be disputed.
Amen.
So he said, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I can see.
Amen.
So you need to have your testimony. What is your testimony? What has the Lord done for you? Number two, now you've understood you can use your testimony to share your faith. The next question is, how do I prepare my testimony? This is very important. How do you prepare your testimony? Now, what I'm going to give you, it's a lineup of what you can do. You don't have to follow this verbatim, but it gives you a framework to work with, to put together a testimony in your own way, okay? You are able to create your own testimony, but I'm giving you a framework that you can use to put your testimony along. So the first thing that you need to understand, your testimony has to be precise. You know, there are times where you can go around so many stories, but just get to the point. Write out your testimony in a brief form. Okay? You have to be by yourself and say, what has the Lord done in my life? Write it down. in a very succinct way, in a very brief way, in a summarized way, what has the Lord done in my life? Number two, take time to practice that testimony. It sounds a bit absurd to say, you know, why should I practice this? It is important for you to actually practice because you don't know when the opportunity comes. Yeah. You've got to be ready. Practice to share your testimony in less than 10 minutes. Yeah. Because the attention span of people is not that long. Practice to say your testimony in less than 10 minutes. This is part of preparation. And we know what the word prepare means. It means make provision before time. In other words, be ready for the harvest. Be ready for the opportunity to share your testimony. And one of the things that I've seen in life, when you are prepared, opportunity always comes. When you leave your house ready, full of a testimony in your heart, the Lord will make a way for you to release your testimony. Amen. Because you're ready for it. Right. Now, what should you include in your testimony? Very, very interesting. I don't know if you've thought about the details of your testimony. What should you include in your testimony? Number one, you've got to testify your life apart from Christ. What was your life like before you met Christ? That's the starting point. And here we are not about to glorify the life of sin, but the reality is our lives were not together before we met Christ. Well, maybe you have a different story. My story was different. I was really a good boy. I was good. I mean, I was well behaved. But I realized that it's not being well behaved that will take me to heaven. I realized that I might be a good guy, but I'm still a sinner. When this guy told me his testimony about Jesus, it was not about, I'm a well behaved young boy, my mama likes me, everybody at school likes me. No, it went beyond just being a good boy. So you might say in your life, you know what, my testimony is not very elaborate, it's not very exciting because I wasn't a murderer, I wasn't promiscuous, I wasn't a liar. No, the fact is, though you're a good person, you're not good enough for heaven. Amen. That's my story. I don't have a story to say I was drinking, I was, no. My story is I was a good sinner. Yeah. I was a good non-believer. Destined for hell. If I had died at that point, heaven would not have received me because I was good. And that's my testimony. Yeah. And the Lord will bring you to somebody who needs to hear your specific testimony. Yeah. Because that person might be saying also, you know, I'm a great guy. I don't bribe. I don't do stuff like that. Yeah. But the moment they hear my testimony, that I was not doing none of that stuff, but when I got the revelation that I was born in sin, that convicted me. Amen. Number two, you've got to tell them what brought you to a point of decision for Christ. What brought you to the point of deciding for Jesus? Number three, the changes in your life since receiving Christ. What changed after you gave your life to Jesus? I really believe some things changed. I was able to forgive. I remember I gave my life to the Lord on the 8th of March. And 3 days down the road, my dad died. When my dad died, we had huge challenges with my uncles. I don't know if you've been through that, but we had huge challenges with my dad's brothers. All of them were after my dad's estate. Okay? Stuff happened. To the point where I remember being told, you're no longer part of this family. Whatever happens to you, happens. Don't even tell us. Why was I able to go through life without being bitter because of Christ.
Amen.
It's because of Jesus. It's because of his love. That's my story. So what were the changes that took place in your life? And when you go through this, it gives you a moment to even start seeing the goodness of God in your life.
Amen.
For you to be able to say, God, you've been so good. Thank you. You preserved me. I would have died there. This would have happened to me. But Lord, you preserved my life.
Amen.
Number four, what has been your experience of the Spirit of God? What has the Spirit of Jesus done in your life? I'm talking about baptism in the Spirit. The Bible says, the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. He runs alongside us. What has been your experience with this person called the Holy Spirit in your life? What has been your experience when you were water baptized? What changed in your life? I'm talking about a Christian that has a full experience with Jesus. Maybe you are here today, you haven't been water baptized. We need to create an opportunity for you when summer comes. Well, unless we can find a warm pool somewhere. My pool is very cold. It's covered now. It's under the net. Nobody is swimming in that pool. Unless we can find a warm pool, someone we should baptize you.
Yeah.
Your testimony should also include the challenges of separating from the old life. You know, we mustn't tell people that the moment you're born again, everything is easy. It's just going to be flowing. No, we need to tell them it hasn't been easy because it has not been easy. You know what? Your spirit man is born again, but your flesh is not. Your fleshly tendencies are there lingering around you and trying to trip you all the time. And that is why the Apostle Peter says, be alert and be sober. For the devil, your adversary, is roaring around seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
You should even be able to tell them, sometimes I've tripped over this issue. I've struggled sometimes to forgive, but I always go back to God. You bring in the nature and the heart of God towards his people. Glory be to God.
Amen.
So those are some of the things that you need to include in your testimony.
Amen.
Very, very important. So when you do that, you start seeing the journey that the Lord has taken you through. And how he has been by your side. How he has provided. How he has been faithful. So that is about the testimony, to say, use your testimony and prepare your testimony. Make it as brief as possible. And there are some of the things you need to put in your testimony. Number three, what are some of the foundations that should help you? So we need to use what is called in Christendom, it's called the Roman road, as a foundation to share your faith. I don't know if you've heard what they call the Roman road. Okay? The reason why they call it the Roman road, it is because we refer to a number of scriptures that are found in the book of Romans. Okay? There are several key passages in Romans that are often referred to as the Roman road. The truth contained in these scriptures will help you and assist you in sharing your faith with others. And so I want to just remind you, and I'll give you this Roman road that you can use. Okay? You might not be able to start quoting, you know, my sister, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. They'll look at you like, what is Romans chapter 3? Don't be weird when you do this thing. But we're giving you the framework. The words that you should use, you don't have to quote the scriptures, otherwise you lose the person's interest, you know? But Romans chapter, let's start there, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. These are some of the verses we need to learn by heart. You've got to learn them by heart, and when you speak them out, they're coming from a place of revelation. From a place of understanding. So Romans 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. That is the starting point. And what is the truth that is found in Romans 3 verse 23? The truth is all people on earth are sinners. So when you're sharing a testimony, you need to bring out this understanding that all people on earth are sinners. You will find people who tell you that I was Christianed when I was 3 and confirmed when I was 8, and therefore I am a believer. Really? How do you address that matter? Or I was born by Christian parents, and I grew up going to church, and therefore I am a believer. That is not necessarily true. So somebody needs to understand the reason why they need to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, irregardless of where they were born. Maybe they were even delivered in church, because people say, I was born in church. No, I mean, really, tell me about it. Like, you're born in church. You're born in church. Yes, you're born in church. So all people are sinners. And because of sin, we are separated from God. And sin keeps on separating us from the destiny that God has for us. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody was born a sinner. And somebody needs to understand that. I need to have that on a continuous basis to understand that I am in a fallen state. This world is fallen and I need the grace of God to live through this world. So that is Romans 3 verse 23. The next one is Romans 6 verse 23. Romans 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. So somebody realized that, you know, though I was born in church, but I still need Jesus. And therefore, if I don't have Jesus, there is a result that comes from being sinful. Amen. There's a result that comes from being sinful. And somebody needs to understand that I'm not being funny when I say you are a sinner. I'm not condemning you. I'm just simply stating the case. You were born in a state of sinful nature. That is the state of a man. And the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. And the death that we are talking about is both physical and spiritual. Do you know that it was because of sin that death came into the world? I mean, physical death. You see, because of sin, everything under earth is bound to degenerate. That is why you grow old. That is why everything rots. That is why everything that flies has to come down. There is a law called the law of sin. And because of sin, everything is going to die. Now, when you are not born again, you'll experience two deaths. The physical death, when you pass on, and the second death, that is eternal death. Whereby we are separated from God and there is suffering that ensues in the pits of hell. You'll find that these days we are no longer talking about the realities of heaven and the realities of hell. People will tell you, how can a loving God send people to a suffering place? People are being consoled and being told that, you know what, hell is just an imagination. It is just a symbolic state that will finish at a certain point. No. It's called eternal death. Yeah. It's called eternal damnation. Amen. And when we talk about for the wages of sin is death, it is important that somebody understands that. Yeah. You see, eternal death is separation from God. And right now, when people are not in the knowledge of Jesus and they are not born again, they are separated from God. There is no relationship between them and God. You see, religion will try and make us feel that even if I'm not a born-again Christian, I am still a child of God. I can still pray and He hears my prayers. The reality of the matter, the Bible says, for His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous, but closed to the prayers of the unrighteous. Very, very important. When somebody is not born again, they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. It's all religion. For the wages of sin is death. So that is Romans 6, verse 23. Let's continue with the Roman road. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. The word of God says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Isn't that powerful? It is life-changing to realize that in advance, God came, died on the cross, hoping that you and I will receive him one day. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 1, it says here, he came to his own, but his own rejected him. Verse 12, whoever believed in him shall be called children of God, shall receive authority to be called children of God. Amen. But he went to his own rejected him. Right. But the love of God is so outrageous that even before you and I were ready to receive him, he died. Amen. He made provision for a way so that you and I can become his children again. So Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin. So when you're talking to somebody who is not born again, somebody who doesn't know God, they need to understand that there's a way out. There is a way out of this sinful state. Sometimes when I talk to people, I tell them, who teaches my child to swear? Who taught them to be selfish? Where they get bread, they don't want to share the bread. Huh? Who taught them to be angry? Who taught them to throw tantrums? It's because they were born in sin. The sinful nature is working in them. And that is why God came and made a provision through the death of our Lord Jesus. Other religions, you have to work your way up to its God. But when it comes to our walk with God, he made his way down to man. Seeking for you and I, seeking for your deliverance. Amen. In other religions, you have to pay the price to earn the right to be in the presence of its God. Yeah. But as for our walk with God, he paid the price on our behalf. Amen. And somebody would need to have that understanding, the difference between his relationship that he's about to get into and any other religion that is out there. And as believers, do we have that revelation? Do we have that understanding? You see, because of what Christ did, God offers to us a free gift of eternal life. Amen. So, so important. So, so important that you and I have this revelation. You see, his love is so much that he said, all you need to do is to believe in me. All you need to do is to say, I believe in you, Jesus. Come into my life. Make me a child of God. Hallelujah. So God in his holiness could not simply ignore our sin. You see, we need to have this revelation that when sin entered into humanity, God's holiness was taken away and man could not relate with God anymore. And God is saying, I am so holy, but yet I want to have a relationship with you. I am so holy, but your sin avoids and stops you from coming to me. And therefore he said, I'm going to make a plan so that my holiness can be restored. So the death of the Lord Jesus was not so much because we are very precious. It was because God is so holy that his son had to die for his holiness to be restored amongst men. Amen. That's a very important thing for believers to understand, that it wasn't so much that I am very precious. It was the holiness of God that initiated that process. And thereafter the love for man. But he was saying, I love men, but my holiness does not allow me to go and relate with them. He is so holy. The Bible says he is seated in a high in the holy place, in a lofty place with those of a contrite and a broken heart. Right. And he says, whoever comes to him must know that he is holy.
Amen.
So God sent Jesus to pay our debt and to die in our place.
Amen.
So that Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Another one, we're going back to Romans 6, but part B, Romans 6:23. So we said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, what is a gift? You receive a gift freely.
Yeah.
It's freely given. So this is the thing. I buy you a birthday gift. It was Musa's birthday yesterday. I will buy you a gift. And happy birthday. I buy you a gift. For you, the gift is free. But the gift is not free for me. It costed me. That is the story with heaven. When Jesus came, he is a free gift for you. But it costed him everything about him. It is an expensive gift that has been freely given to mankind. And if you appreciate the price that was paid, you receive the gift with gratefulness in your heart.
Amen.
That is why you should wake up in the morning and thank God for salvation.
Amen.
When last did you thank God for salvation? You know, you have children in the house. They get so used to eating supper every single night, to a point that they forget to say, Mama, thank you for the food. They are forgetting that this Mama has prepared. Mama bought this food. Can we not be like that? Where we are spoiled to a point where we actually forget the price that was paid for me to be able to approach the throne room of grace.
Amen.
You know, David understood this and he says, what shall I do to repay the goodness that you have shown me? What shall I do? What can I give you back, oh God, for the goodness you have shown me? And this is the question we should be asking every day. Lord, how can I pay back for all that you've done for me?
Yeah.
It's also important. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He became our sinless substitute. He was sinless and yet became sinful so that the sinful people can become sinless before him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The one who was sinless took a sinfulness,
yeah,
so that those who are full of sin can be rendered righteous.
Amen.
And when you share this good news with somebody, something is bound to give in their heart.
Amen.
For them to understand that you don't have to continue in your sin. You don't have to pay a price for the sins you have committed. It's like telling somebody you've been convicted of murder, but you're not going to go to prison because somebody else has gone to prison for you.
Amen.
Wow. That's salvation. When that person is set free, knowing that their friend is in prison on their behalf, they will not live their life the same. They will not go murder again. And that is what stops us from sinning. You know, what stops us from sinning is not the fear of hell. No, it's not the fear of hell. It's the goodness of God. It's having a revelation that somebody who had no sin became sinful for me. Therefore, how can I continue in this life? No.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That is salvation. When you're about to do something stupid, I'll use that word, you say, no, I'm not going to do that. How can I continue doing the same thing that somebody died for?
Amen.
He took the price, he paid the price for me, and therefore you back away.
Amen.
That is why the Bible says, for the goodness of God leads us to repentance.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
So, in order to receive that gift, what does we say to do? To stretch out his hands. To receive it. In order for this person you are talking to receive this expensive gift, all they have to do is to stretch out their hand and to receive. For he has given us, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, so important. Another Roman scripture, Romans 10, verse 9. Yeah. Romans 10, verse 9. So something is happening. So you're on this trip. I want you to picture yourself. You're the driver of the car. You see, when you're the driver of the car, you seem to have control. You know that, right? You're more in control of the conversations in the car. It's more difficult to preach the gospel to the guy who has given you a lift, right? Come on now, let's be honest with this matter. It's a bit of a challenge because the guy will be like, hey, listen, dude, I gave you a lift. Don't bother me with this story. What are you talking about? But, okay, it's not always like that. Yeah, it's a like moment, right? But I'm just saying God will give us opportunities to share the gospel, all right? Now, Romans 10 verse 9 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, this is so, so key. So when Christ died on the cross, he made it possible for us to receive forgiveness of sins. And this gift of salvation is given to those who acknowledge their sins. I must come to a place of realizing that, I am so wrong here. You know, when they go to courts, when a guy actually pleads, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but when a guy pleads, sometimes the sentence is a bit, it's less because there's remorse. Somebody's showing that, look, you know, I realize what I did was like so wrong. I'm so sorry for this. And this is the whole point. As you're sharing the good news, somebody must come to realize that I am full of sins. And I cannot save myself. And I need to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and to accept him as my Lord and Savior. So, so important for somebody to understand that you believe with your heart. And after you have believed with your heart, you've got to speak what you've believed. And you confess with your mouth unto salvation. Which means that there is a step, there is a movement, there is an action that somebody needs to take in order to seal this deal. I know of people who say, you know, I was watching TV and this preacher came up, preached the gospel, and I prayed the prayer and I gave my life to Jesus. You have to do a move. You have to encourage this person to make that move. And you're able to sense this how this conversation is going. Now, how do you encourage people towards an actual decision for Christ? You see, the reality of the matter is that not everyone is ready for this step. And we need to be aware of this. Not everybody is aware of this step. We're not going to take a gun and put it on people's heads and like, listen, you are going to say this prayer. Because if you don't, this is your last day. I don't know if you've seen, there's this thing on Facebook. I saw some guy, you know, who was preaching Jesus on the streets. Okay, he was busy preaching Jesus and people were not paying attention. He's like, no, man, I'm done with this. He pulls a gun. He goes to your sister, this girl, like, listen, it's time that you must give your life to Jesus. And the girl gave her life to Jesus. I don't know how genuine that was, but the truth is that not everybody is ready to make this step. But there will be some people that are ready to make a decision for Jesus Christ. And you will sense it as you converse with this person. And you'll be able to encourage them. Now, when you discern that they are ready, you can walk with them. When you discern that they are ready to make this prayer, you need to start discussing certain things with them. Like, do you understand what we're talking about? And you see the expression. And what I've seen is that as people understand their sinful nature, as people understand the love of God for them, something changes about them.
Yeah.
There is a submissiveness that steps in. There is a willingness to go to another type of life because they would have seen the love of God. They would have been exposed to this selfless God who says, I don't want anything from you except you saying, Jesus, come into my life. Amen. Now, you need to discuss with them a couple of things. Do you realize that you're a sinner? It's important for somebody to realize that, yeah, you know what? From what you've said, it does make sense. Because I can recall there's something that I used to do and I don't even know where they're coming from. I realize that I'm a sinner. Another thing is, you need to discuss with them, do you realize that Jesus died on the cross for that sin? You know what? Actually, you know, I've been so hard on myself. See, people will start telling you, I've been so hard on myself, I feel like I need to pay a price for what I did to my dad. I still feel like I need, though I've asked for forgiveness, I still feel like I need to punish myself for the things I've been doing in life. You need to ask them, are you willing to repent and to turn away from your sins? Do you see this conversation? You know, because we haven't been taught these things, a lot of the people who say yes to Jesus actually don't understand what they're saying yes to. Are you willing to receive Christ in your life as Lord of your life? You see, many people are prepared to receive Jesus as their Savior, but not ready to receive Him as Lord. There is a difference between being just a Savior and being a Savior and a Lord. The Lord comes and takes control. A Savior just saves you and leaves you to your own means. But a Savior and a Lord comes and He saves you and He puts you in a different trajectory in your life. He starts telling you what you should do. He starts ordering your steps. That is the Lord in your life. Do you understand what that means? Are you willing to come under the authority of the Word of God? Do you have a Bible? Have you ever read the Bible? Are you willing to begin a new lifestyle under the direction of God's word? Are you willing to do it now? And the person says, yes, I want to change my life. You know, because of the Holy Spirit, at that point, somebody will be in their tears. Somebody will be realizing how far they were out their way from God. Now, the question is, how can I lead someone in what is called the sinner's prayer? How can I lead? Because you need to help them. They might not have prayed this before. They don't even know how to pray. And by assisting them in praying, you can help them to be more specific with God. It's important that you become more specific with God. Now, there is a prayer that you can mix around, but there are certain things you need to mention in your prayer as you lead them. And it's important that you let them know that they are not praying to you, they are praying to God. You are not their Savior. You are simply an instrument that is pointing them to their Savior. It is important that people understand that it is not you who is doing the saving, but Jesus who is doing the saving. So you can pray a prayer like this. And I want us to repeat after me. Say, today I realize, say, no, dear Lord, today I realize that I am a sinner. I realize that my sins have separated me from God. I call upon you as the only one who can save me. I thank you that you love me and that you sent your son to die in my place. I repent of all my sins and of all those things that have separated me from you. I am willing to put away my sinful ways and live the way that you have designed for me. I acknowledge you as Lord. I over my life.
I believe that Jesus Christ died
and rose again from the dead.
I want to live a life that pleases you.
Help me to know what to do.
Help me to do what I know is right.
Thank you for saving my soul.
Amen.
Now you realize what's in this prayer. It acknowledges the deity of the Lord Jesus. It acknowledges that he died on the cross. It acknowledges that he rose again. It acknowledges that he is Lord over the universe. And therefore he's Lord over my life. It acknowledges that you are willing to submit to his lordship. So it is important that when you do these prayers, you cover these things that make this person aware of the shift that is taking place in their lives. Now, what do you do with those who have received Christ in their lives? What I've seen that what happens in our walk with the Lord is that we do a lot of baby dumping. What do I mean by baby dumping? Somebody gives their life to Jesus and nothing happens after that. They are left by themselves and they go back right to the way they were. And it becomes more difficult for them to have a fruitful walk with Jesus because nobody has taken them under their wings to help them in the walk with the Lord, to experience a new life. Now, when somebody's given their life to Jesus, it is important for you to show the joy of the Lord over the situation. You've got to praise the Lord with them for their newfound salvation. For them to say, do you understand what has really happened here? Heaven is celebrating. You know, the Bible says when one sinner comes back, there is rejoicing in heaven. Because heaven is saying, this one has come back home. This one is no longer to be is no longer going to be condemned for life. This one is now having a relationship with God the Father. So help them to understand that this experience is based on faith in Jesus Christ. The focus is Jesus, not on an individual. The focus is on the Lord Jesus, not on a church. The focus on the one who died. Glory be to God. Another thing is talk to them about the importance of water baptism. You know, this is one of the sacraments that Jesus left the church. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They need to understand that what has happened here, it is by faith, but you also need to take a step of faith where you are identified with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And that is what water baptism is. It's a public declaration before saints and the heavenly hosts to say, I'm a born again child of God. I'm no longer of the world. I'm now of Jesus. So when you are water baptized, it's a public declaration. And I've seen the enemy fighting people from being water baptized. It's a doctrine that is so key to your walk with the Lord. And if you haven't been water baptized, it's important that we teach you and be water baptized. Another thing, make sure they have a Bible. Okay? And encourage them to start reading the Bible from the book of John. Now, the Gospels, the four Gospels, gives us a different picture of who God is, the picture of the Lord Jesus. So, you need to understand that the book of Matthew teaches us about the kingship of the Lord Jesus. That's the Gospel of Matthew. When you look at the Gospel of Luke, it tells us as Jesus is the man. He is a man. He walked the earth as a man. So you see a lot of the teaching that I found or what Luke, the doctor, pushes really is to show that Jesus was a man. And then the Gospel of Mark teaches us that Jesus was a servant. He was there to serve man. And you see what comes out when Mark was writing the book of Mark. And then the Gospel of John teaches us that Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. That is where you find the seven I ams in the book of John, where he is talking about, I am the bread of life. I am the light. I am the good shepherd. I am this. I am this. He was simply saying, I am God. That is why we encourage first-time believers to go into the book of John, because they have an encounter with Yahweh. Amen. They have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. Amen. As God. Amen. So there's a plan to this madness, so to speak, to this excitement about God, the excitement of salvation, but we need to lay the foundations. Amen. Tell them to go read John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning, and nothing was made which was not made. And they start understanding that, who is this? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made which was not made by Him. That is mind-blowing. When somebody, a new believer, starts reading that, they will spend a whole week there trying to understand, and they will call you, what does this mean? The Bible says he came and he dwelt amongst his own, or he tabernacled amongst his own, but his own rejected him. And then he starts understanding the love of God. So, so important. Talk to them about prayer. What does it mean to pray? To commune with God. Talk to them about the importance of gathering with believers. Yeah. What it means that on the Saturday night, you phone them about church and you bring them to church. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God. Yeah. Because of time, I'm going to stop there. But I think I've covered the key elements of how to share our faith. Now, I don't expect you to take this verbatim. This gives you a framework that as you sit by yourself and you pray for souls, you pray for people around you, the Holy Spirit will guide you how to put all of to weave this into your conversation. And when you do that, you see the power of God at work in your life. Amen. I want to encourage you to be prayerful about this matter. I want you to think about the people that you spent the most time with. And you say, Lord, in this coming season, I pray for grace that I would reach them for Jesus. Amen. And Lord, help me to be able to correctly position the Lord.